talk a little NHL and maybe even a little NLL with Dave Rowe. Joins us from Calgary once again. Dave, how are you?
Always, always good. Brass Bonanza. You lead into me with Brass Bonanza. You tell Meg she is so fired.
Buddy, that's every Friday, man. Positive show. We love it. You don't like the Brass Bonanza?
Fine. Be that way. It's like retro Paul Coffey jersey. I miss the retro Paul Coffey stick. That was a good pattern for a long time. Nasty, nasty hook for a guy with a wrist shot. Bring back the Paul Coffey stick.
Paul, how about we bring back the Battle of Alberta from 30 years ago? That'd be awesome.
Yes. I'd be down with that.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk here in Edmonton because of what happened last time with Gazdik and Westgarth that maybe McGrattan's going to want to say hello to Luke Gazdik. What are you hearing?
I don't think McGrattan is really all that interested in just settling any old scores right now. McGrattan right now, he's moved up in the world. This guy has moved from the fourth line to the third line. He's been playing with Matt Stajan after Stajan came back after dealing with his family tragedy. Brian McGrattan is a guy who's always going to answer the bell. Kevin Westgarth, I don't even think is going to be in the lineup tomorrow night. I think that is just something that the Flames would be just as happy to look past. I'm not looking for that heavyweight battle on the card, sadly.
You take a look at this Calgary Flames team, and am I mistaken to say that the D is actually not a bad collection of players?
The D is not a bad collection of players at all. There are some great cornerstones. If you're looking to rebuild a team, you've got like some outstanding building blocks there. You've got like Mark Giordano, who is awesome, who is legitimately, I'd say, one of the top defensemen in the league right now. You've got Chris Russell, who's really found his game as a puck mover. You've got TJ Brody, who is a young guy on the way up. Ladislav Smead, we talked about Lad Smead before on this program. What a great addition he has been. He's been that veteran guy who has come in, worked as a stabilizing influence with some of the young guys. The latest young guy, Tyler Weatherspoon, who's still going to be a work in progress, but looks like he could be a good one. You've got, like the entire team, you've got a young group that is buying what Bob Hartley is selling, and the Flames are getting some pretty decent results.
You know, you break down that group of defense. You didn't mention Weinman, but another guy there. This summer, obviously, there's going to be some changes. Is that an area you think where pretty much the Flames fans and organization will see the same group returning next fall?
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a pretty much a status quo. There was some talk that maybe you try to move a Chris Butler out just to try and get someone who is a little bit bigger and, to use the favorite Brian Burke word, a little more truculent. Dennis Wideman is a guy that I would move right now if I could find someone to take that that $5 million. Dennis Wideman is a guy who I just don't think has been a fit. And, he's injured. They've shut him down. He's pretty much done for the year. But I honestly don't think he's missed back there. I don't think he's been a fit at all with this club. I think Jay Feaster missed out on this one, kind of overvalued Dennis Wideman. And if they can't find someone to take that contract, he might even be the target of a compliance buyout. I just don't see him as a guy that you want to move forward with.
Dave Rowe joining us from Calgary. Orders taken on the Flames tomorrow night. The Matt Stajan situation, just awful as somebody who's a recent new father. I could not imagine what he's going through. How did his teammates respond to that one, Dave?
His teammates have responded. This is a tight group. This is as tight a Flames team as frankly I've ever seen. The organization was outstanding. They told Matt Stajan that there is no hockey. You go away and you deal with your family. You do what you have to do. If you don't want to come back this year, we're absolutely fine with that. Coming back was Matt Stajan's decision. It was Matt Stajan's call. He's got a lot of good friends on this team. Brian McGrattan is probably the guy that he's tightest with. But the leadership group on this team made it easy for Matt Stajan to come back. No one wanted to talk about what happened. It was just, welcome back, Matt. Let's just move on with this. Matt Stajan is a guy who's completely remade himself as a member of the Calgary Flames. When he was first brought in the Dion Phaneuf trade, he was the guy who was supposed to come in and provide all this offense. That didn't happen. A lot of us were surprised that he was still around after all this time, but he's reinvented himself as a veteran player, as a member of the leadership group, as a mentor. to some of the young guys as a guy who takes third line minutes and grinds it out. Matt Sagan is a popular guy, and he is never going to have to worry about support from his teammates or the fans.
You know, I love how you say it's a tight-knit group, because I always heard that about the Flames and their dressing room. You know, what is it that makes it that? Does it start from the captain? Is it the organization? Is it the way the rookies are treated? In your opinion, why is that the case?
It starts with Bob Hartley. Bob Hartley, again, was a coach that we heard a lot of questionable things about, you know, based on some of his time in Colorado and Atlanta. Bob Heartless was the nickname you heard because of the harsh way
for sure
that he dealt with players. Maybe losing that opportunity, maybe having to go over to Europe and, you know, try to rebuild his career, change Bob Hartley. But Hartley has come in. His nickname around here is not Bob the Builder, it's Bob the Rebuilder, as, you know, the Flames have finally bought into a rebuild. But Bob Hartley has taken the time. He's worked with this team. He's coached this team. And, again, a tight-knit group. It's a cliche, but I really believe it. And I believe that it starts with Bob Hartley, the way that he has these guys working together, singing from the same prayer book, and buying into what he's selling. That's why they've won 9 out of 11. That's why there's a real positive vibe and a real good feeling about a team that still, frankly, if you look in the standings, is not real, real good. But there are some positive signs, and I think it starts with Bob.
Do you see him being there again next year?
I do now. I mean, when Jay Feaster got fired and Brian Burke came in as the interim, and I am making the quotey marks, the interim GM, you just figure that you're going to bring in a general manager. General manager wants to bring in his, you know, his own coach, clean house, and start over. But with what Hartley has done here and the way the fans are feeling about this team and the fact that anyone, if they do hire a general manager, the fact that any general manager is basically going to be answerable to Brian Burke, I don't see how you can get rid of Bob Hartley right now.
You know, just to go back a little bit here, why did the Flames move Reto Berra?
Reto Berra wasn't the guy. Reto Berra has got some good skills. There's some upside with this guy. But the one thing that I kept noticing about Reto Berra is he had problems controlling rebounds. There were, like, pucks would just explode off these pads and, you know, go 30 feet out into the worst possible area. The Flames are looking for a number one goaltender, and Reto Berra was not going to be that guy. I don't know if Kerry Romo is going to be that guy. I don't know if Johnny Ordio is going to be that guy. And John Gillies, the U.S. junior product, is a guy that they want to look at. But it became obvious that Reto Berra was not going to be a number one guy. And if you're not going to be a number one, there's plenty of number twos around here, so you got to move them out and look at the next guy. And I like Reto Berra. I like a lot of what Reto Berra brought to the table, but he's not going to be the number one.
Quickly, right now the Battle of Alberta that's probably more entertaining would be on the lacrosse side, Dave. And you look at the Roughnecks still drawing fairly well in Calgary. Edmonton came in there and spanked them last weekend 15-7. The Rush are 10-0. That rivalry was dominated by Calgary for a long time, and it seems like it's finally starting to even out, although there's a long way to go to get the record even. But do you think that's better? Do the lacrosse people, do they get up to it more now that Edmonton's actually a good team?
It's, Calgary fans love their lacrosse and they love their rivalries. I think as much as we have the Calgary-Edmonton thing going, the Toronto Rock are still and are always going to be the number one rival for the Calgary Roughnecks. But I love the fact that the Edmonton Rush have put it together as well as they have this year. I'm a lacrosse fan. I love seeing good lacrosse. I love seeing good attendance. I love seeing great rivalries. And the Calgary Roughnecks started bad this year, really put their game together, and they looked at that game last week as a real litmus test and got spanked, frankly, in front of their home crowd by the Edmonton Rush. There's two more meetings this year, and I think they're going to be two outstanding games, and I hope the fans continue to buy into this because I love it.
Well, Dave, enjoy the lacrosse. Maybe have a playoff Battle of Alberta later on, which would be outstanding. We'll definitely have a Battle of Alberta draft party battle between the Oilers and the Flames, but that's about it this year.
Yeah, Reinhardt or Ekblad? Who do we end up with? That's pretty much the storyline right now, I'm afraid.
Who would Calgary pick if they were, let's say they picked second ahead of Edmonton and Buffalo didn't take Ekblad, they took Reinhardt, or let's say they took Bennett because he's an Eastern guy. Who do you think Calgary wants, a centerman or a defenseman?
I think, if it was me, I would go with Ekblad. You need some size up front. You need size and scoring up front. And I don't know that the draft class of forwards this year, that you're going to get that franchise player, that you're going to get that great top six forward on the first two lines. I love Sam Reinhardt. I don't know if he's going to be that guy. If I have the chance to take Ekblad, I am not going to pass on this guy.
Dave, we appreciate it as always. Have a good weekend.
I appreciate it too, man. Just call me more often.